It is 12 o'clock. You're in tune to KZSU Stanford. And stand by for another exciting edition of the Lunch Special.
There'll be bluebirds over the white cliffs of Dover tomorrow. Just you wait and see. There'll be love and laughter and peace ever after tomorrow when the world is free. The shepherd will tend his sheep and the valley will bloom again. And Jimmy will go to sleep in his own little room again. There'll be bluebirds over the white cliffs of Dover tomorrow. Just you wait and shepherd will tend his sheep, the valley will bloom again, and Jimmy will go to sleep in his own little room again. There'll be bluebirds over the white cliffs of Dover. Just you wait and see.
Welcome back to another edition of the Lunch Special here on KZSU Stanford. And today, honored to have former Stanford grad from grad school, local documentary filmmaker, and so much more, Miss Dorothy Fadiman. Dorothy, welcome back to KZSU Airwaves.
I'm happy to be here.
Thank you so much for taking time out, because I know you're extremely busy. You're constantly working on your next project, which is documentary film. You're a documentary filmmaker, prolific. You've been doing this for over 35 years in the area, correct?
I have been.
You've taken it all over the country. We've had you on another show on Monday afternoons a few times in the recent past concerning your films, but today you're coming as a Stanford alum, as part of the Lunch Special, and this is where we feature alums or current Stanford folks, and they bring their own music. And this show is more about the music, but we talk a little bit about them too. And today you've brought songs. That was Bing Crosby. Is there a theme to the tunes you brought today?
No, each one is connected to some kind of breakthrough for me.
Okay.
Because in the first song, White Cliffs of Dover, I was a very awkward child. I was not good at sports. I was very shy in my body. I was a little heavy. I always hung back. I was the last one picked for teams. And my big brother, who was 8 years older than I and was a great dancer, decided to teach me how to dance, how to slow dance, how to keep rhythm, and how to follow, which of course is all girls did in those days, is follow.
Mm-hmm.
And he'd put on the White Cliffs of Dover, and he'd take me through a kind of relaxed two-step. And gradually, I not only learned to dance, but I became a really good dancer.
Hmm.
And that was one of the first things I'd ever done in my body that gave me joy. And I went on to win dance contests and become a jitterbug queen, and it all just flourished. But I learned to dance on White Cliffs of Dover.
Amazing. And you've been on the on different shows here with us, and I've never heard these stories before, and this is very fascinating. You grew up in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
I did indeed, and I found it, I didn't know at that time, but when I came to California, I found in retrospect that it felt like a really small town.
That's we're going to get into your life and times and your work too. And another thing we want to let people know about is you're going to be presenting a 35-year retrospective on your filmmaking career, where folks can come and participate in it. And that's coming up this Friday.
Give feedback.
Yes. Yeah. You've put together a montage or a collection of a lot of your pieces of your films from the last 35 years. And this Friday, April 1st at 7:30 at the Peninsula School Auditorium, which is in Menlo Park at 900 Peninsula Way, people can come at 7:30, and it's PG-13, so it's all ages allowed.
No.
Not all
PG-13, they're allowed, but only if an adult realizes we're going to include LSD, abortion, and open marriage.
Aha. Uh-huh. So PG-13 meaning,
yeah.
Okay, if you're going to be 13 or under, you better bring somebody with you. Or a really good ID. And folks can find out more about this event this Friday at 7:30 in Menlo Park by logging on to info@concentric.org. Actually, that's an email address, isn't it?
Right.
So what they can log on to find out more about it is your website, DorothyFadiman.com.
Yes.
And that's Dorothy, FADIMAN.com,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
Perfect. Well, let's play another song for the folks. And what are we going to present to them right now?
A certain part of Hovhannes, Mysterious Mountain, which is an expansion of consciousness which I had while this particular music was playing.
Now with guest Dorothy Fadiman, and Dorothy, you set this piece up so we could actually play it a little bit and talk over. We would normally never just talk over someone's music, but you wanted to talk about this piece a little bit. Go ahead.
Well, I had been a hippie. I mean, I still am in a way.
Okay.
But I was a big time hippie in the 60s. And my husband, Jim Fadiman, said, there's another way to use LSD than the way you've been using it. The way I'd been using it is you just drop and see what happens.
Recreationally.
Right. And there was a professor at Stanford who was very highly respected in the electrical engineering department, Dr. Willis Harmon.
Okay.
And Bill Harmon worked with my husband and some others in a foundation where we were invited to come in and take LSD in a guided setting. And there were many factors to that experience, but one of them was they played music while you were in a certain altered state as your mind expanded. And Willis guided me and sat with me, and Jim was nearby. And as a result of this setting with this music, I just kept opening and opening and opening. And I realized that day that this tool was a way to get in touch with and experience our place in the universe. And one of the metaphors Jim uses to describe what that was is LSD is like a microscope with a big heavy base. If your papers are blowing away, you can put LSD down on them, a microscope down on them, and they'll keep your papers down. And if you actually feel violent, you can hurt someone with that heavy base of the microscope. But if you look through the microscope and very carefully turn the little dial until your vision adjusts and you can see deeper and deeper into what the microscope can show you, it's a completely different experience. So this opportunity I had with this music and with Willis Harmon and with LSD was tuning the microscope so I could see deeply into the universe.
It sounds like it really changed your life, too.
Completely.
For the better.
Yes.
And it must have been interesting because, you know, there was so much negative information coming out about LSD being a mind-altering drug and people getting violent on it. That's what the news media reported mostly, right?
Right.
Back then?
Yeah, there was a lot of confusion and a lot of stories. And the point is, when we begin to learn about the possibility of something like LSD, it completely changes the mindset of the people who have it. And one by one, those of us who had that experience began to try and want to, and often did, give it to people who could then understand.
Mm-hmm. And was there a point in your life where you said, okay, I've done enough, now I'll just go on with my life and I won't do that anymore?
No. Gradually, I began to make films, which gave me incredible breakthrough into ways to change consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
And I would do it again. I just haven't recently. But there was never a point when I said, no, never again.
Wow. Dorothy Fadiman is our guest and Stanford grad. And much, much more. And we're going to get into that at the bottom of the hour. But what's coming up next for the folks, music-wise, Dorothy?
Well, my first production, and I've now, as you mentioned, been making films for 35 years. My first production was actually a slideshow and called Do Saints Really Glow? And the climax of that slideshow, which was just packed with what I'd experienced on my most important psychedelic experiences, was The Long and Winding Road.
Long and winding road that leads to your door will never disappear. I've seen that road before. It always leads me here. Lead me to your door. The wild and windy night that the rain washed away. many times I've been alone, and many times I've cried. Anyway, you'll never know the many ways I've tried. And still they lead me back to the long winding road. You left me standing here a long, long time ago.
Paul McCartney, of course, with The Long and Winding Road, another pick of our guest today, Miss Dorothy Fadiman. And Dorothy, this trip that you're telling us about, you've been on for the last more than 35 years, because we got to go back 40 years from right now is 1971, first year of the powwow at Stanford. When were your years here at grad school at Stanford?
61 to 63.
Okay, so we're talking 50 years ago then.
And I was an activist during those years and spent a lot of time on the front lines in the civil rights movement.
Now, speak about that as far as Stanford being a place to activize in 61.
Yep.
What kind of activism was going on? Was it civil rights?
Well, there were two parallel tracks. I mean, they weren't exactly parallel, but they were different.
Stanford was still all white at that point, wasn't it? Or very close?
Honestly, I can't tell you, and I don't want to go on record if I don't know. But I do know that there were many of us from Stanford who joined CORE, the Congress of Racial Equality, and we spent our weekends going into East Palo Alto, registering people to vote. We picketed banks to encourage them to hire more African Americans and so on. And simultaneously and escalating from those years was anti-Vietnam. And there was a lot of overlap. And then the psychedelic movement and the peace movement. And these movements weren't necessarily compatible. So there were times when being in the peace movement and the psychedelic movement was very different. And in fact, we locked horns with people who were on the streets to end the war in Vietnam.
Hmm. Now, give us a little perspective, because I was just 8 years old at the time, but for an activist like yourself, on November 22nd, 1963, when the president was shot, what kind of, and you were still here at Stanford, what kind of, not just feeling, but what did that, how did that work its way into not just you, but your fellow activists too? What did that do to you guys? How did that...
Well, if it had been just the president, which was just heartbreaking beyond description, and
sure,
we went into, all of us went into existential grief. But then, you know, there were other, Martin Luther King.
Well, 5 years later, right, 1968.
But there was a whole, in the 60s, we saw a whole constellation of events that led us to have to stop being quite so idealistic and quite so trusting. And then we began to move in different directions. Some people became commentators and researchers and began to intellectualize. Some people went into music. Some people dropped out. I mean, there were many different things that happened to us, but we definitely lost an era. The Flower Children definitely lost an era of hope and promise that we shared. And then we went in different directions, deciding what to do about the fact that what we'd imagined and thought we experienced happening was not happening like we thought it was.
Yeah, I'm thinking back now, just history-wise, there was Kennedy in 63. Medgar Evers, I think, was the next one. Then Malcolm in 65, Malcolm X, murdered in 65. And he was on the brink of kind of getting together with Martin Luther King, and it looked like they were really going to do something. And then 68, and just briefly, Your Hair Had to Be on Fire in 1968, since we're on the subject of activism during the 60s, because in 68 was when Martin Luther King got it in April, and Bobby Kennedy got it in June. I was too young at the time, but I think back then, if I was in college at that time and an activist, it would have just blown my mind.
So what we needed to do, which we did, was we all came up, those of us who hung in there, with different ways to internalize and then communicate about what we'd learned, what we believed in, and what we hoped for. And I chose filmmaking.
Yes, and You did a wonderful thing at that. We're going to talk about that a little bit more in the next segment coming up. What do we have up next for the folks, music-wise?
Well, what I began to do is listen for songs that touched the place in me that reminded me of what was important. And every week I tune into Robbie Osman on KPFA, Across the Great Divide, and he starts with Kate Wolf singing the song she wrote for him.
He's still on the radio.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Across the Great Divide. And that song, which I want, brings me to tears every single week and puts me back in touch with the direction that I feel we need to go and we need to remind each other about.
So here's Kate Wolf.
I've been walking in my sleep and counting troubles, instead of counting sheep. Where the years went, I can't say. I just turned around and they've gone away. And I've been sifting dusty books and faded papers. They tell a story I used to know. It was one that happened so long ago. It's gone away in yesterday, and I find myself on the mountainside, where the rivers change direction across the Great Divide. Well, I heard the owl calling softly as the night was falling, with a question, and I replied. But he's gone across the borderline. He's gone away in yesterday, and I find myself on the mountainside, where the rivers change direction across the great divide. Hour that I have seen is the one that comes between the edge of night and the break of day, when the darkness rolls away. It's gone away in yesterday, and I find myself on the mountainside, where the rivers change direction across the great divide. It's gone away in yesterday, and I find myself on the mountainside, change direction across the great divide.
And that's the song that we hear on KPFA. We mention sister stations around here a lot. That's every Sunday. And you said it's Robbie Osmond.
At 11, Across the Great Divide.
Yeah, and he's been on a long time, hasn't he?
He has been. And what I love about that song, which I'd like to mention.
Please do.
Is when she says, the greatest hour is when the darkness rolls away. And I'd like you to help me with this, but at this point in history, it's enough what we struggled with and suffered in the 60s. And you mentioned that whole string of assassinations. Now, the things which we're struggling with and trying to retain and sustain hope are too numerous to mention. And so when she says the darkness rolls away, there are times now when it just feels like the darkness is encroaching and encroaching. And so those of us that are in the trenches creating little beams of light have to really support each other, because the support systems, the media, and so many of the things we counted on and even worked with are dissolving into the darkness.
Were you inspired by what happened in Tunisia and Egypt, and how quick it happened, and the United States had nothing to do with it? We've been meddling in other people's affairs for so long. We even propped up that Egyptian regime, and literally overnight we saw people take back their power, and even got beat up and shot and everything, and they just undauntedly just took it back, and now they got the power, at least in Egypt and in Tunisia. They got what they wanted. They chased out their regime, and they're reforming. Were you inspired by that?
Of course I was inspired by that, but of course I also kept the radio on and began to go into a kind of shock as other countries in North Africa began to try to, each in their own way, emulate what they had seen, and they're being crushed. And in Libya, it's complicated.
Yeah. But I'm just from the standpoint of you are a current activist as well. I wouldn't call you a former activist. You're, like you said, you're still in the trenches, except you're doing it with film now.
Right. And the way I'm doing it with film is much subtler, which is I try to take situations, and I've taken a number of them. I worked in India, I've worked in Africa, I've worked with Native Americans on reservations and pueblos and so on, where from certain perspectives the situations look hopeless. And what I do is I go into these situations and I try to find, and always do find, individuals and groups who are bringing light, even though to the viewer and even to the people themselves, sometimes it does feel hopeless. And one of the things about the show on April 1st is not just that there'll be clips of a number of different films over the last 35 years, but there's also going to be a live narrative monologue. And what I'm going to be talking about is how I developed the courage and skills to have, in some cases, the nerve to go into situations where I may have been ignorant, I may not have been that welcome, and begin to build bridges of trust so I could make these movies.
Dorothy Fadiman, the guest. And while we're on that subject, let's let everybody know that in conjunction with Peninsula Peace and Justice here on the Peninsula, Dorothy Fadiman will be doing a work-in-progress showing this Friday night, live solo performance, including film sequences for 35 years of filmmaking. You, the public, are invited to give free feedback on Dorothy's latest production. It is PG-13. It's this Friday night at 7:30 p.m. at the Peninsula School Auditorium. That's in Menlo Park at 920 Peninsula Way. You can see all this on Dorothy's website at dorothyfadiman.com, F-A-D-I-M-A-N. And
it's free.
It's free, totally free to the public. And like you said, it's really public participation, because you're going to want feedback. So you're going to have you'll be speaking while you're showing some of your film clips. But I saw you do this. Well, I saw you present this at a house up in the hills last summer, where you were looking for some feedback. So you gave everybody DVDs and said, "Take these home. I want to hear back from you guys." And that became your latest film.
Absolutely. That's when I was working on Reclaiming, mm-hmm. a film about Native Americans, because I'm never so presumptuous to believe that because I have a passion for something, I necessarily understand how it's going to be received, how it's going to be understood, what people's reactions are going to be. So every film has usually at least half a dozen feedback sessions when people say, "My God, that's amazing," and say, "You know what, you better take that out of there." And I listen.
And it helps.
Oh, it not only helps, it's essential.
Local filmmaker and activist, Miss Dorothy Fadiman. And just briefly to run down the list, because I'm sure from your 35 years, started out with Radiance, The Experience of Lights, Woman by Woman, New Hope for the Village of India, Stealing America, Vote by Vote, Why Do These Kids Love School, Seeds of Hope, HIV, AIDS, and Ethiopia, Choice, Then and Now, Moment by Moment, The Healing Journey of Molly Hale, and Open Secret, The Poetry of Rumi. And then you have a book out called The
Producing with Passion.
Yes. This is an amazing body of work, Dorothy. You've produced all this yourself. You didn't get, you're not on some big Hollywood budget. Each film had to be you had to organize all that yourself, right?
Well, I've had a huge number of volunteers from the community.
Mm-hmm.
I've had hundreds and hundreds of donors from the community. And as my film work grew, I began to write foundation grant proposals.
Mm-hmm.
And, for example, my series on women's reproductive rights, Back Alley Days and the Abortion, and Abortion Doctors Getting Killed, 17 foundations funded that, and some of them as many as three or four times.
That's amazing. You've also been recognized by the industry, meaning the film industry. You are an Emmy and Academy Award winner?
Nominated. Emmy winner, Academy Award nominated.
Aha. Uh-huh. That's good company to be in, though. And it's great to be recognized. It must have been very gratifying for you, for the film industry to step up and recognize your work, huh?
Well, one of the most interesting awards was called the Gold Medal from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. They had a whole committee that voted. And my film about the Back Alley Days, when abortion was illegal, got the gold medal. And one of the people quietly told me afterwards that there was a strong anti-abortion activist on this panel who voted. And he said to everyone else on the panel, I don't agree with or believe in basically anything in this film, but the film was made with such integrity that it deserves the gold medal.
Wow.
And that's what I aim for, is to take subjects which are controversial, which have multiple positions and points of view, but to present the information so that it's not a rant, but so that it simply gives people the opportunity to see some information, and through interviews especially, that most people never see.
Dorothy Fadiman, born and raised in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, correct?
Oh, yeah.
And started out at Penn State as an art major.
Right.
And you wanted to go into teaching art.
I did.
And from there, you ended up at University of Pittsburgh finishing up.
Right.
And that was still for art.
Yes.
And then when you when you wanted the chance to go to grad school, you said you picked the farthest away place you could imagine.
Yeah, I just knew that where I was in my life and in Pittsburgh didn't give me enough wingspan. I was trying to toe the line, I was trying to behave, I was trying to be like everybody else, but inside of me there was this storm of creativity and passion, and I never knew anybody who'd even ever been to California. But I knew intuitively that I had to go. So I only applied to graduate schools in California, and I got a couple of scholarships. I didn't even really know, I mean, this is hard for anybody listening to this to believe, I didn't even know the difference between San Francisco and Los Angeles, so I began to ask people, and most people didn't know what was the difference, and finally I ended up at Stanford, again by intuition, and when I came to California, I thought I died and went to heaven.
Now, when did the activist in you come out? Because was it in Pittsburgh before you got to California?
No.
It came out in California.
Completely.
And, that's a similar experience of a lot of folks. A lot of folks that did come here from other places, and not just the East, but down South and the Midwest, too. Especially in the 60s, there was a great awakening going on. And along that line, you came to Stanford in grad school for speech therapy.
I did. I was interested then, and it grew, in communication. I knew that being able to communicate was one of the most important factors, as the Academy Award winner this year on the role of the speech therapist.
Right.
You could feel that when he couldn't speak properly and well enough, it was just like a big shadow over everything in his life. So I tried to play that role, be that person, but gradually I began to realize that it was possible not only to work with one person at a time or six, but somehow it dovetailed with the vision I had that through film I could actually reach more people with one good piece of work. And finally, now that the internet is bubbling with connections all over the planet, it's possible for us to create media here in California, and we know it's being watched halfway around the world. In fact, you have a little screen here which I see, and on that screen you can just take a look at people listening in other places in the country to what you're doing right now. Name a few?
it's pretty amazing. Actually, we try not to do that, but we do. We see you out there.
Yeah.
No, it is amazing what Google has come up with, definitely. Dorothy Fadiman, our guest today. Now, Dorothy, we were talking off mic, and I asked you, what was it that took you from grad school speech therapy into filmmaker? And you said it was an LSD trip.
It was. It was an incredible opportunity that I was offered. Again, with a really good psychedelic trip, you don't have to do anything. You mm-hmm. have free will all the way, especially when you have a guide. If you don't have a guide, it gets complicated. But I had a great guide, and basically a voice said to me at the height of an LSD trip, may I fill you with light. And I was just so trusting and open, and I said, yes. And this cascade of brilliance came rushing through my body, and I was in ecstasy, and I was actually with my husband at the time, and he reached out and touched me. And the minute he touched me, it stopped. And my first reaction was like, what are you doing? And then very soon I realized that he had given me a great gift. And what the gift was is that the purpose of this light was not to short-circuit me. The purpose of this light was to invite me, which I got very quickly afterwards, to create some kind of media or form that would convey to people that we are all beings of light and that we are all connected to the light of God and the light of the universe. And you don't have to call it anything very sexy or New Age. It's still pretty amazing. So the next step for me was to try to write a book. And I tried actually for 10 years to write a book about light. I still have file cabinets filled with research and pictures for a book about light. And one day, a filmmaker came to my door. I'd never seen him before in my life. And I went to the door, and he was standing there, and he said, I hear what you've been trying to do, write a book about light. He said, did you ever think of making a movie? And he and I made my first film, Radiance, The Experience of Light.
Heady stuff here. Dorothy Fadiman, our guest for the hour, and that's a perfect lead-in for this next song. This is Bill Withers and Lean on Me. You want to say anything before we play it?
Well, I want to say one more thing. I do want to hear the music, but I want to say one more thing about what I just said, that man who stood at that door 35 years ago and said, did you ever think of making a movie, is the publisher of the book I've just written, Producing with Passion, Making Films That Change the World. And our connection evolved, but it stayed steady.
Well, that's full circle. Amazing stuff here on KZSU Stanford's Lunch Special.
We all need somebody to lean on. If there is a load you have to bear that you can't carry, I'm right up the road. I'll share your load if you just call. If you need a friend,
call me.
Call me, uh-huh.
Call me.
If you need a friend,
call me.
If you ever need
call
a friend,
me.
Call 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 me. If you need a friend.
A true timeless classic. That song will go on forever. That song sends chills up my spine every time I hear it. And Dorothy Fadiman picked that song. And Dorothy, speak about that. What kind of effect did that have, that song have on you? And from what you talked about in the last segment, it really does fit, because you talked about your connection with the universe and all of it, and how you felt like you could really lean on all that.
Well, actually, that song was brought to me. I didn't choose it myself, although when it was brought to me and I heard it, I said, that would be great to put over the credits of a film I made called Why Do These Kids Love School? I was documenting a school in the ghettos of New Orleans, and it was a fabulous, was a fabulous school, very progressive, and lots of compassion and variety in what they were offering the students. And one of the things that they offered the students there was sign language. And so the director of the school said, I want you to see this. And he brought me into a room, and the kids were maybe 95% African American, most from low income families. And they were singing this song, and they were singing it with Bill Withers in the background. And they were signing in sign language, American Sign Language, which they'd all learned.
Wow.
And it was just so moving to see these kids signing and living their educational life in a place where everyone was supporting them. And I thought the entire film, which documented 9 schools, which all showed settings where the teachers and the parents and the community supported the kids, that this would be a perfect ending, climax, celebration of this film. And so I had my cameraman just shoot them singing it over and over so we could cut it together from different angles. And one of the favorite parts of any films I've ever made is watching those kids sign Lean On Me.
Powerful stuff from our guest today, Miss Dorothy Fadiman. And Dorothy will be doing her next showing, which is going to be a work in progress showing, a live solo performance. That means you'll be speaking on it too, Dorothy. Of film sequences from the last 35 years. So I guess it's pieces from all your different films. And you want the public to show up and give feedback as well. So this is a public participation event. It's this Friday, April 1st, 7:30 p.m., right in Menlo Park at the Peninsula School, at the Peninsula School Auditorium. That's at 900 Peninsula Way in Menlo Park. And folks can hear about all this, can read about all this at DorothyFadiman.com. And Dorothy, Emmy Award winner, Academy Award nominee, documentary filmmaker, Stanford grad, former resident of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. What feelings do you have today now seeing all this stuff? We talked in an earlier segment about current events and how they're almost completely daunting because it's just fire and ice, right? They found they found minor pieces of radioactivity in Massachusetts over the weekend. We know it's here in California. Japan is going through great upheaval because they're discovering the nightmare of what can happen when nuclear power goes wrong. So we're seeing that. This is worse than the Gulf Coast disaster from last summer, right? But then we saw Egypt and Tunisia, and people took the power back. And over the weekend, we saw reported on Al Jazeera and on Democracy Now this morning, over the weekend, folks in Britain came out to tell their government, no, don't be cutting all this stuff. And they haven't even made the cuts yet. The government promised they were going to, but over 500,000 people showed up in the streets of London to not just protest, but tell their government, you better not do this. We saw Wisconsin, the folks in Wisconsin just step up and really, really straighten up their backs and tell their government, their state government, you better not do what you think you're going to do, because we'll get you out of office as quick as we can. And it looks like that's what's going to happen. Looks like a lot of those politicians committed political suicide, because they can all be recalled. The political system still works. How does all this make you feel, Dorothy?
Well, having made a film called Stealing America, vote by vote, and to hear you, who are really quite sophisticated, say the system works, I have to challenge you. The system is broken.
Okay.
There are places where the system is working. And, you know, for example, and I'm not flattering you, it's true, to have this show on every week through thick and thin is kind of how I want to live my life. I will continue to make these films and show these films, which are beacons of hope. But I have to say, when I look out into the world, if I don't keep my own nose to my own grindstone, I get existentially depressed and find myself unable to do anything. So what I need to do, and what I support people in doing, is roll it back to what you can do in your life, in your home, with your work. And having this show every week is a really good example of it to me, because that system does work. I've got a little company that helps me make and create and outreach for films. That system does work. And I think we each have to figure out what piece of the system we're responsible for and help that piece work.
Incredible words by our guest today, Dorothy Fadiman. Dorothy, we're all going to come down and see you this Friday night at 7:30 at the Peninsula School Auditorium. Folks can find out more about that, and it's free admission at dorothyfadiman.com. Log on to that. You can get all the information, or just show up to the Peninsula School. And in the meantime, please come back real soon, would you?
Are you going to play Bob Marley?
Yeah, we're gonna go out with a redemption song. And we want to let everybody know, if you want to know more about this show, the lunch special, log on to KZSU Lunch Special, and you'll get all the information right there. We want to thank Blue for all the help today. And in the meantime, always do the right thing. Here's Bob Marley.
They took her from the bottomless pit, but my aim was made strong by the hand of the Almighty. Forward in this generation, triumphantly, all I ever had is songs of. Mental slavery, none but ourselves can free our minds. Have no fear for atomic energy, 'cause none of them can stop the time. All
just a part of it. We've got to fulfill the book. Won't you help to sing these songs of freedom? Won't you help to sing redemption? Redemption. From mental slavery, none but ourselves can free our minds. Have no fear for atomic energy.
None of them can stop the time.
How long shall they kill our prophets while we stand aside and look carelessly?
Some say it's just a part of it.
We've got to fulfill the food. Won't you help to sing?